Okay, COVID-19, we all remember it. And if you've got kids, you would remember the whole routine, you know, back to school, and then a lockdown, online learning, back to the classroom, COVID cases, isolation, masks off, masks on. To say the least, schools were more than a little bit disrupted by the pandemic. In some ways, Tasmania was luckier than other states, but I wonder how much impact it's had on our kids. Dr. Sheridan Emery is an education researcher at the University of Tasmania's Peter Underwood Centre. She's been exploring some of these questions. Good afternoon, Dr. Emery.
Good afternoon, David. Could you call me Sheridan, please?
Okay. Sheridan, for those of us without kids, those who didn't go through it, remind us, take us back to that time.
Oh, I think that day, Monday, 30th of March, 2020, is possibly a day where for many families and parents and carers, the world stopped making sense. Like, I'm not sending my children to school. They're learning at home. What is this new world we're living in and how am I going to cope? It was just such a period of uncertainty. And it was a real scramble for, I think, so many people in Tasmania, one that we hope we never have to go back to. But it was definitely a time where I guess we at the Peter Underwood Centre recognised that there's something extraordinary that's happening in education and we really should take some time to learn some lessons as we go through this. So we were quite fortunate to be able to speak with some of the amazing educators around Tasmania and people in the education system to really try to get a sense of how it was during that time in order to learn some of these lessons to take forward.
Mm. How profound do you think the impact was for that sort of cohort of students who were forced to stay at home and, you know, sort of do haphazard lessons off the computer and all the rest of it? Do you think it had a substantial impact?
Absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we really did learn through the study is just how much of a part of everyday life school is. Now, I mean, it's pretty obvious to say that, of course, but the routines and the structures that are set up around going to school every day are just so crucial and foundational to the lives of children and young people, as is that space where they form friendships and learn how to navigate in the world. It's a place that goes a lot beyond learning. And I suppose that was one of the things that really stood out from the start is that, you know, we discovered that schools are so much more than just places of learning. And I think that the impacts from that time do ripple on. And that's, you know, something that we can get into a little bit more. But things like, you know, when you disrupt those patterns of attending school regularly all the time, it can be that bit harder to go back into that pattern again and re-establish that connection with schooling. And I think that we've seen some of that.
We're talking about school refusal here. Is that still a problem in the education system?
Well, it is. It's an ongoing matter of concern. And yes, with that disruption where all of a sudden everybody's expected to switch to learning from home and then all of a sudden it's, let's, you know, flip back. We're all coming to school. These things take time and they really require a lot of settling in. One of the things that we did discover pretty early on during those initial school closures, the first thoughts were that, oh, okay, so learning's going to go online. It'll be, you know, learning online during the pandemic. And then here in Tasmania, very quickly we learned that that's not available to all students and all families, and there are really quite different circumstances that different students face in terms of whether it's access to online learning, so, you know, having a laptop computer, for example, or having internet access. Those things are, you know, fairly unevenly distributed in some areas of the state. So it had to shift terminology to learning at home, and it was done in quite different ways in different schools and in different areas.
Do we know how many kids did miss out because of, well, simple lack of access to an internet connection or a computer?
I can't give you numbers, but I can say that it was many. And, you know, this picture that we were forming about what was going on during COVID just became more and more complex as we went on, because you realised that, say, parents of older students, you know, were kind of expected in many cases to support their students with learning online. And that presented a whole range of issues for many people. And then for parents of very young students, that was a whole different world, because they're expected to be very hands-on in their learning. Young children are. They're not sitting up at a computer, but it's very hands-on, and that's difficult for parents who might be working themselves. And so, you know, the ability to support that learning was really challenging.
Mm. You've talked to a lot of educators in the course of this research. Have there been any sort of stories or anecdotes that have really stuck with you?
Yeah, they really have. I guess one of the things that just came through from the very outset was how much educators care about their students. And, you know, that came through so clearly, you know, talking to, for example, some educators at colleges around the state, and how concerned they were that when their students weren't able to access the school, that they'd have interrupted access to the other programs that are offered through the school. Things like young mums programs or breakfast clubs, or being able to see the school psychologist or youth workers. Those sorts of things were really concerning to them, because they realise how much of an important role that plays in keeping students emotionally well. So that was one thing. And I guess the other things that we noticed too was that in some places there were quite creative responses to, you know, students and families not being able to access school. So I know up here in the north, one school was sending out recipe boxes to families with fresh vegetables and recipes, so that the children could be cooking at home within their families. And that, I guess, is a recognition that, you know, learning can happen anywhere and anytime, and that social learning that happens at home within families where they're cooking and interacting is really important. So, you know, there were some creative ways that schools were responding as well. I think another aspect that really, I guess, landed for me was that, you know, some of the education support officers in the state play really important roles in keeping children safe. And, you know, they were really concerned that children were losing access to a complete support network, that network of food and clothing and being able to have their medical conditions addressed. You know, that was something, again, that was missing for those children who are being supervised through interagency support officers.
On ABC Radio at 15 minutes to 5 o'clock, my guest is Dr. Sheridan Emery, who's a research fellow at the Peter Underwood Centre, an education researcher, looking at the impacts of COVID-19, the pandemic, the lockdowns, when the kids were all sent home to learn from their computers. My children were among them. Look, it was an interesting time. What mistakes were made, Dr. Sheridan, that you think we should make sure that we don't repeat next time around, if and when a pandemic happens or something similar?
Yeah, there are definitely some lessons, you know, that were learned. And educators themselves were really reflecting on this as they went through the process. So some of it was just recognising that they were maybe expecting more work than could be done. So, you know, we had some teachers telling us about students emailing them saying, this work is really overwhelming, I'm working into the night. She memorably described this shift to learning from home as whiplash for some students. You know, they're so used to having that more direct daily, you know, checking in and conferencing with their teachers, which they didn't have access to. So it was this whiplash as they had to be more independent in their learning. So one lesson was about the quantity of work that was to be expected. I think another lesson that came through is that children and young people really should be involved in crisis responses. Children are largely sort of positioned as victims of a crisis and quite helpless. They're positioned in that way. So I think that there are opportunities for students to be more involved in, you know, the deciding what happens in their communities and in their learning. And that actually would help students with their own well-being too, because it was a time of great anxiety for students. And one of the reasons for that is that they have little control over what's happening in their world. And so, you know, one of the ways to help them be part of that is come up with some of the ideas and discuss them and give their views about what should happen.
Dr. Emery, we've had a text message from a listener pointing out that that not all children received the support, the family support that they needed, saying, hello, did Dr. Sheridan take into account parents who did not bother to help or facilitate their children's learning? This happened within my extended family, says the texter, despite many discussions with the Tasmanian Education Department. There was no process to help these children. So no way for the department to intervene if parents were just not putting in the effort. Is that a common story?
Look, to be honest, we weren't speaking with parents. We were speaking with schools, with teachers. And, you know, that is really unfortunate when that support isn't there at home. And, you know, that is definitely something that does happen. In that sense, schools are such crucial, you know, resources, and that connection with their teachers and the school staff is so important to students and to families, and maintaining that connection again is really important too. So it's so unfortunate when that does happen, but on the flip side there is really I think some really incredible work that occurred during that time as everyone was sort of in a state of pandemonium for a while, where schools had to just really scramble to try to get what resources out to students and to families that they could. And hopefully they were able to, sort of fill gaps where possible. But yes, they're not a solution for everything. We did learn during COVID that schools play such a vital role in communities, not just for student learning, but as central support to the lives of many children and families.
Well, thank you very much for your time this afternoon. It's a really important topic, a pretty crazy period that I think we all really need to think back and learn the lessons from. So, Dr. Emery, appreciate your time. Sorry you asked me to call you Sheridan.
Thanks so
much.
Sheridan,
thanks for your time.
Thanks, David. Lovely chatting with you.
Dr. Sheridan Emery there is a research fellow at the Peter Underwood Centre looking at the impacts of the COVID-19 pandemic on Tasmania's students. Well, very shortly we're going to be returning to the topic of